has a thousand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Good morning. Welcome to hour three of the Donna and Steve Experience on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. So, what do you want first? Do you want to know something that I just found out about Tom Selleck? Do you want to know how John Travolta got his role in Pulp Fiction?
Let's start with Travolta.
Okay. So, during a 30th anniversary screening of Pulp Fiction last week, John Travolta revealed how he snagged the role of Vincent Vega. Quentin Tarantino was a huge fan of John Travolta's, and so he reached out to John's agent and then arranged a meeting. So, John went over to Quentin's apartment, which weirdly used to be John's apartment at one point back in the day. They spent almost 24 hours together. The first thing they did was play John Travolta board games. So he had board game versions of Saturday Night Fever, Welcome Back, Cotter, Grease. And during each game, Quentin wanted John Travolta to randomly throw out lines his character would have said. So they're playing the board games. They're done playing. Travolta decides, you know what? I'm going to help this guy with his finances because Quentin Tarantino was a young, struggling artist. So they sat down, they went through everything, and they made sure that Quentin was on the right financial path. John Travolta, I believe, is a billionaire, if I'm not mistaken. I think he was really great at investing money very early on. You check my work.
Check it.
So anyway, a week later.
$250 million.
$250 million? That's it? Yeah. Why did I think he was a billionaire? Okay. Well, he gets the script for Pulp Fiction, gets the part. Quentin Tarantino said, it was you helping me with my finances. You had this analytical, theoretical, philosophical viewpoint that I needed for this character. And it just made sense. So that's how he got that role. That was like a big comeback for Travolta at that time.
Sure. And it's gritty.
Yeah. You know? Different than anything
helps
he's done.
To see him a little differently. Yeah.
Yeah.
When did he go to pay? When did that happen in the Travolta timeline?
Oh, I think earlier than you think.
Yeah. I always found that surprising.
Yeah.
I'm
he
always
looks good
shocked.
With, no,
when,
he looks. I am too.
When I find out people have had Botox or are wearing wigs, extensions, toupees, I am largely blind to all of that stuff, except injectables.
See, there's my blind spot. I never, like, someone will be like, wow, she needs to take it easy on the Botox. I'm like, I don't even notice.
I don't notice Botox. I notice puffy lips.
Lips.
Yeah, because I think sometimes if you get your lip too done, there's sort of a natural duck face that starts to, you know, the lips just start to go out a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for making the actual face. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting story. Here's my Tom Selleck story. You might not be surprised by this. Apparently, he has never sent a text or an email. He says he's occasionally looked himself up online while researching his memoir, which is coming out in May. He says, but he largely stays away from the digital world and gets either his secretary or his wife to answer his messages.
Wow.
Wow, dude.
Wow. What?
I just, it's not hard. It's not a hard thing to do, but maybe it's a slippery slope. He says, I don't know if I could survive otherwise. He said, but then again, I have a hard time writing things down, which is weird for a guy who's pushing a book. Do you have anyone in your family who's never, like, sent a text?
No, my 90-year-old grandma is active on the text thread.
Huh.
This is weird. Also, Tom Selleck, boy, what a classically handsome man.
Yes, indeed. Even, you know, it doesn't matter where he is in life. He looks good.
Boy, he's got a 63-acre California residence.
So this guy's got to have money.
Oh, wow. Again, your detective work here, Donna, is so good.
Okay, listen. You don't have to shame me for stating the obvious. You do it all the time. I forgive you. I'm going to tell you what his net worth is.
I think it's $250 million.
I'm only seeing $45
million. No.
Much of his wealth was
amassed. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. We shifted to Tom Selleck. I'm sorry. I'm still on Travolta's bank account. I'm so sorry, Donna. Would you please, please forgive your little Stevie boy?
It's fine. It says here he's worth $25 million right now. I don't know how that can be. But they said most of his money was amassed during Magnum P.I.
Tell you what, Blue Bloods is on season 14.
Good for them. That's a good show. I started watching it, and then I just kind of just never stuck with it. He always wants to keep working. Yeah, handsome guy. I wasn't into like that hairy chest look back then, like in the 80s. I was like, whoa, that's a lot of hair.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Maybe it's because I was hanging out with like 16-year-old boys. I was 16, just for the record. Yeah.
Creep alert. Lock her up. Lock. I find it tough whenever I see, but I don't have a lot of hair on my chest or my arms or legs for that matter. But you can see sometimes guys who do have very hairy chests, and sometimes they just have to kind of trim it because it slowly stops. So sometimes it'll like grow up onto their neck, and you'll see a hard shaved line of where it stops on the top of the chest.
It's tough.
It's hard out there.
It really is. It's really hard to do your best.
To have everything put together is just very tough.
I know. I look at these women in California, and I'm like, really? It seems like a lot. The lashes and the lipstick and the makeup and the hair extensions and the veneers. And it just seems like a lot. And the nails.
And then to come back, and if you then want your house to be well-maintained every day and to always look like it does right after you clean, which is when you feel the best about it, that's not going to happen unless you become a full-time butler for yourself, constantly tidying up.
It's 11:11. Make a wish, everybody.
Thank you, Donna.
Boy Rocco. He texted me over the weekend. He sent me a score of, I don't know if it was the Timberwolves game.
Oh, yeah.
It was 11-11. Or maybe he was at some college game. I don't know what's going on with all that stuff.
The Timberwolves won in decided fashion against the Phoenix Suns.
Nice.
The opening game of the opening round of the NBA playoffs. It's exciting around here right now, Donna.
And the weather is cooperating, so this is all great.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Steve.
We'll take a break. When we return, when's the last time you ate in a restaurant, Donna?
Yesterday.
Whoa, big spender.
And the day before?
What? Sit-downs?
Yeah.
Wow. Where'd you go? What'd you do?
Don't worry about it.
What'd you order is really the big question. We'll tap into that. Here's the thing. There's a study about some behaviors. Are these acceptable behaviors in restaurants or not? We'll rattle through that, and we'll find out who Donna was having back-to-back dinners with over the weekend. You. Ooh, hot gossip. That one we come back to.
Hey there. It is Rocco for MNFatLoss.com. That's a weight loss plan where I lost about 25-30 pounds in just around 2 months. I did it around this time last year. I said, hey, spring break is here. That's going to be my farewell to eating all those foods and drinking all those things that I know are making me gain weight and not liking the way I look in the mirror. And when I get back from spring break, I'm going to do the MNFatLoss.com reduction phase. It takes about 2 months, and you just watch the pounds come off. I know I did. It's just a joy to get on the scale every morning and be like, nice, I'm down more. And you can do it, too. You don't have to eat prepackaged meals. You don't have to take any weird drugs you don't know the side effects of. You don't do any tricks to try to suppress your hunger. You just teach yourself how to eat better. The doctor and his team will help you along the way like they did me. Here's the deal. You want to save $200? Give them a call. Tell them Rocco from My Talk sent you.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Hello. Thank you for listening. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, where talk is fun. We got the big Zamboni with us as well.
Honk, honk.
Honkity honkerson. What?
That made me laugh. Honkity honkerson.
Thank you.
Studies have shown that...
Several long-term studies have shown...
They've studied the studies.
Several scientific studies have shown...
And here with their findings are study buddies...
The perfect nerd couple.
Donna and Steve.
There's a big new survey out on acceptable and unacceptable behaviors at restaurants.
Okay.
Some of the results, a little surprising, some very straightforward. We'll ping pong around so as not to make our show predictable, right, Donna?
You got it, buddy.
Is this acceptable or unacceptable?
Okay.
Let's begin with taking an extended period of time, quote unquote, to decide what to order. Is this acceptable or unacceptable behavior?
Okay, if there's only two choices, I say that is acceptable with an asterisk.
Oh, okay. What is your asterisk?
I would like to say that it's my first time here. The menu is very large.
Cheesecake Factory.
I'm a vegetarian trying to find something to eat.
48% of people say it is acceptable to take an extended period of time. 34% say it's not. Like, come on, this ain't your first rodeo. You're eating the cuisine that you've eaten before. Let's stop acting like you just took a trip to Kuwait and it's a brand new menu.
Oh, Kuwait.
New foods you've never tried. You're not deciding between the dog and the hot dog. This is a restaurant, guys. It's okay. 2024.
All right. You're just, you have scar tissue from your wife.
That's true. She is a long orderer. She's a question asker. At the frozen yogurt place, she's one of you psychos that get multiple samples. Oh, now can I try like some of the peanut butter fudge? And I'm like, let's not embarrass ourselves. Let's freaking make a choice, a $7 choice, and get out of here. And she's like, why are you so worried about what everybody is going to think in every situation?
I know why.
Why?
Because you're a big TV star.
It's a blessing and a burden!
Because you think someone's going to recognize you, and then they're going to say things like, oh, geez, these two were pills at Frogurt, or whatever the name of those places are. Frogurt? Where did I get that?
It's frozen yogurt, bad. Froyo. Hi, I'm Donna Valentine for Frogurt. You could do that.
I would love to. I'm open if anybody works at Frogurt.
Is it acceptable to snap your fingers to get a server's attention?
Absolutely not.
Never.
Unless you're mute. That is also another asterisk. Thank you.
I think it's asterisk.
Whatever it is, I'm putting it at the end of
what I my decision. 11% of people say it is acceptable. 81% say it's not, and then the others are like undecided. But maybe it's, what? Let me play devil's advocate. It's busy, they're running around, they're having trouble. And then you can even follow it up with a, come here.
That is disgusting.
Oh no, those are my love noises.
Oh my God.
Lou's going to come bursting through this door.
I'm going to be like, Lou, blink twice into the camera if you need someone to get you the hell out of there. Ew. No, that's just, that's not nice.
Here's something I bet you've done before with the part of you, and there is a sizable part of you that is sort of a dirtbag, and you admit this off the air. Flirting with the staff.
I don't know what that means. Like,
hey, Randy, anything else on the dessert menu? Stuff like that. But they're like, ma'am, seriously?
Hey, Randy, are you the catch of the day?
Okay.
Ew. No, I think also there's a difference between being friendly and being flirty, and I think it's sometimes misinterpreted.
How do you feel about knowing and memorizing the name of the server? This is not on the list.
I like it.
You do like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, Randy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My grandmother leads the charge in terms of knowing people's names, and then she'll restate those. But then I saw that on one of those progressive commercials or whatever it is with the we're turning into our parents. Yeah. And he was like, you don't need to know the server's name. Just.
I mean,
Kathleen, let me ask you about the pasta choices.
Yeah. I mean, if they come up to you and go, hi, I'm Stephanie, I'll be serving you today. I think it's kind of nice.
I think it's nice to know it. I never talk to a server unless I have eye contact with them. And so in the same way that if I have eye contact with somebody that I know, I generally will never say their name because I feel like the eye contact. And that's a good way to get away from if you don't know somebody's name, just establish eye contact. And then it's just like, hey, let me ask you something. You don't have to say, hey, Barry.
You know, Barry.
And hope. Barry.
You know what I like to do, though? Let's say I'm on the phone with somebody, I don't know, at a customer service type of thing. I have a question about my bill. And if she answers and says, hi, welcome to, I don't know, Comcast, Mariah speaking. How may I help you? At the end of the conversation, I will say, thank you so much, Mariah. You really helped me out. I appreciate it. Please don't repossess my car. Thank you.
You know how Xfinity comes for those cars.
But as soon as I have her on the line and I get her name, I write it down on a piece of paper.
Really?
Yes.
Now, I will lead sometimes at the beginning of a customer service talk. I've done this before with Delta, where, hi, you know, this is Judy. How can I direct your call? And I'm like, all right. Judy, it's you and me today. I have a bit of a snafu here, but I feel like we can combine our powers and make some magic happen.
Oh, dear God.
Donna!
How hard would you roll your eyes at your coworker and be like,
no, because guess what? Now they're dealing with someone who isn't curmudgeonly like, and instead you're treating them not like some AI robot, but like a person. And you're like, look, I got a bad situation, but I know you've got the power. So maybe we can make something awesome happen here.
Oh my God.
What?
You're just a lot.
You're a little. You know, I want you to be
you
more.
Know what they say,
you want
Steve?
Me to be less.
Less is
a little
more.
Goes a long way.
Yeah. And less is more. Get to the point. Give me the headline. I don't need you to break it down before I even know why you're calling.
Asking to be seated before the entire party arrives. Acceptable, unacceptable.
Again, there's an asterisk to acceptable. I mean, are you just one person waiting for 14 people? Or are you 12 people waiting for two people?
What if you're one person waiting for six people? Can I just go sit down? Like, I'm good for it. If they don't show up, I'm not going to commandeer this. I'm going to be embarrassed and leave here in a minute.
I'd say it's okay.
They're trying to avoid it looking bad to other bigger parties.
Who are waiting.
Yeah. But I feel like most people are...
I'd say it's acceptable.
Kind of smart. They know what's going on here. I don't know.
You got anything else?
Oh, here we go. This came from my Aunt Mary Sue. It's in my blood. Maybe it's in my blood! She said, here's the most embarrassing thing. Pap, my late grandfather, was at a little diner called Eaton Park back in Pittsburgh. And he put his doily that was under his decaf coffee in a fork to wave the hostess down for more coffee. He created a flag. Acceptable or unacceptable?
I'd say
I feel like that's better than a snap, though, right?
No.
That's better than a snap. It's more playful than a snap. What else are you going to do to diminish my late grandfather's legacy today, Donna?
Oh, my gosh. You're redonkulous.
What are we doing next? Cover story.
Oh, no.
This is where Rocco's going to play a song sung by a bunch of different artists, and we have to try to identify those names. Play along. Cover story next.
Hey there, it's Rocco for Crescent Tide Cremation Services. It's a great company, a small family-run business right here in St. Paul. Lisa and Verlin. You know, they used to be in the full-service funeral business, and then one day they were like, you know what, it just seems like so many people these days, they don't want to spend a lot of money on end-of-life stuff. They want to just kind of keep it simple, inexpensive, and then go have a celebration of life for that loved one that makes sense to them. You know, maybe have an event in the park or go scatter ashes at a special place or go rip it up at the bar. You know, like, that's what people want these days. And it all starts with a simple, customizable cremation at a place like Crescent Tide, where simple, customizable cremations start at just $1,000. You'll see if you look at their Google reviews, which are pretty great, that when people called around looking for a simple cremation, they were like, whoa, this other place offered a simple cremation for about four times that price. No, not at Crescent Tide. They're good people and they have a great price. Check them out today. You can even use my talk keyword cremation.